Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the Gospel of John. And in these first messages, I have tried to emphasize some of the background of the book, and then we've been taking a general look at the book. Rather than getting specifically into the teachings immediately, we've been trying to take a general look at the book and some of the things that we can note in the book, and we will be noting as we study it together. And so be patient with me as we take this background and as we finally get into the study of the text of the book itself. Now, this background is very important because it's important for us to understand why was the book written, what are its purposes, and why should we study it and follow it in our own teaching. Many of you perhaps have never studied much the Word of God. You've never studied a specific book like this. And it's very important that you get deep into the teachings. Sometimes we memorize a verse from a book, but we don't understand the book itself. We'll memorize John 3:16, John 14:6, and how important it is that we memorize God's Word. But it's also important that we understand the book itself in which the verse appears. And so this is the reason for our study. We're just trying to understand, why did the Holy Spirit inspire John to write down the exact words of this book? And what is the importance of this book in our lives today? Now, we've taken a number of things. We took the historical background. We took the religious background of this book. And now we're discussing some of the distinctive features of the book. We've taken several of these features of the book. And I want to continue this today. Emphasize again some of these features. And one of the features I want to emphasize is that the Gospel of John gives us some of the clearest teachings on the subject of true spiritual relationship and walk with the Lord Himself. Now, this is not one of the main features of the book, but we're going to see this in John 14 through 16. We're going to see this teaching very, very clearly taught, this teaching concerning spiritual walk with the Lord. These apostles, I think I've mentioned this in other series of messages that I've given. These apostles, at the time when the Lord Jesus met with them, just 12 hours before he was crucified, these apostles were not very spiritual men. They were arguing among themselves who was the greatest among them. And Jesus had to humble them and break them down and prepare them to truly be his followers and the preachers of his word and his salvation. And so in this section of Scripture, John 14 to 16, Jesus is emphasizing spiritual relationship and spiritual walk. What is a true Christian, in other words? How would he follow the Lord? What would he do to conduct himself? How would he conduct himself in everything? And so in these passages, beginning with John chapter 12, verses 20 to 28, Jesus is defining those who truly belong to him, those whom he can truly count as his followers. And then we come down, of course, into this later passage, John 13 through 17, where John, first of all, in John 13, where Jesus, first of all, in John 13, sets the example of himself as the one who is the servant of mankind. In other words, he came as a Savior, as the divine Son of God, but kneeling before these disciples, he teaches them servanthood. And then he goes into the teachings of John 14, 15, and 16, and finally he closes with a prayer of chapter 17. And so this is a very, very important teaching, our walk with the Lord, and how we can best follow him and devote our lives to him. Now, another subject that's very prominent and one of the main features of the Gospel of John is the subject of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very, very important teaching. We have often been led astray by those who teach other forms and other teachings on the Holy Spirit, and maybe some of these teachings are not even found in the Scriptures, but we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a practical subject. The subject of the Holy Spirit is a subject we need to understand in living our Christian lives. I have given a series of messages on this subject, and I don't want to repeat that now. But I want to emphasize the fact that in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is one of the main featured teachings. We see this, first of all, of course, And when we come even to chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, and when the Holy Spirit descended upon the Lord himself, and in other words, on that occasion, God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Father. God the Father, of course, is speaking from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all revealed at the time of the baptism. That's the purpose of the coming of the Spirit visibly upon the Lord Jesus, so that John and others could witness the presence there of the Godhead and his subject there. And then we see again in John chapter 3, where in speaking with Nicodemus, Jesus is emphasizing the new birth and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this very, very clearly, especially in verses 3 to 7 of John chapter 3. And then we come down to chapter 4, and Jesus there seems to be referring to the Holy Spirit and his presence in the life of the believer when he speaks of drinking of the water of life. Then we come down again to chapter 7, and again the Holy Spirit is specifically mentioned. He predicts the coming work of the Holy Spirit after he himself would have ascended back to heaven again. In other words, John chapter 7 is very clear that he's predicting the filling of the Spirit, how the Spirit would flow out of us and he would fill our lives. He would continually fill us, but he would not come until Jesus himself would go back to heaven again. And so this teaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit there is very clear. And then in John chapters 14 to 16, we find the main teaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit and the most extended teaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We find, for instance, and I think I've mentioned this in another message, that there are 10 different ministries of the Holy Spirit presented by the Lord Jesus in these three chapters, chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John. And you need to get into these, and you need to study these, and not repeat these, because these have been taught in a previous series of messages. But you need to get into these chapters, and you need to study the work of the Holy Spirit, and you need to examine in your lives how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your lives as you depend upon him, as you rely upon him to be your strength, to be your overcomer of sin, to be the companion who will lift you up and encourage you, the one who will give you peace and joy in your life, the one who will teach you, who will glorify Jesus in your life. Everything is being taught in these three chapters, these 10 different ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, there will be other teachings on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see these in the book of Acts, the book of Romans, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, in Galatians, Ephesians, and in other books of the New Testament. There are going to be many other teachings on the subject of the Holy Spirit. But in the Gospel of John, this is one particular emphasis. And I want to emphasize this truth with you again. Unless you were born again by the Spirit of God, you are not saved. Nicodemus had to learn this important truth. Nicodemus had to learn the truth that simply being a good keeper of the law, in fact a perfect keeper of the law probably in his case, because he was not only a Pharisee, he was a teacher of the law. So this man who was relying upon his good works, that little by little he could earn credit with God and earn acceptance by God, this man had to learn that there had to be the new birth in his life, and this birth was going to come by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to make anything mysterious out of this. When I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior from sin, it's not some wild experience I'm going to have or some great emotional upheaval I'm going to have when the Holy Spirit regenerates me and comes to live in my life. But if I truly, in my heart, have repented of my sins and I've come to the Lord Jesus and I've asked him to come into my heart and save me from my sin, I believe in him from my heart, in other words, then the Holy Spirit regenerates me at that time. And again, it's not an emotional experience. It's simply something that the Holy Spirit does. He makes me a member of the family of God. He gives me a new nature within. And he regenerates me and comes to live in my life. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in his life. And so I don't want to make anything mysterious out of this. But I do want to emphasize, there must be that true heart faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior alone from sin. And then comes the work of the Holy Spirit in making you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful, that teaching, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit regenerates us. So this teaching is very important in this book. Just one other thing I want to say before I close. I want to emphasize again that the distinctive feature of the book is also the repeated teaching on the subject of the deity of Christ. I can't emphasize this truth too much with you. Jesus is God. If Jesus is not God, I have no Savior, because a man would not have the ability or the authority or the power to save me from sin. So those who deny the deity of Christ, the fact that he is God, come down from heaven, those who deny this are denying their own salvation, because there is no Savior from sin apart from the divine Son of God being sent from heaven to live in this world, to die on the cross for my sin, and then going back to ever make intercession for me. It is wonderful, the teaching, and I don't want to get into this more deeply with you, but let me just suggest these passages. The teaching, for instance, of Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about how Jesus gave up his place in heaven to come down to the earth and to live and to die on the cross for my sins. How wonderful it is that Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself for me. In other words, to accept me as a member of God's family. I had to come to God through the Lord Jesus. To be accepted, I had to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus made this way possible by coming down from heaven as the divine Son of God and dying on the cross for my sins. I trust in my heart that you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I trust, even as I teach you, that you're not relying upon your good works, upon your church, upon sacraments, upon anything else to save you from your sins, but you're relying upon the Lord Jesus, and that when you die and you have this true faith in your hearts, you will not be afraid to die, and that after you die, no one will need to pray for you, because the Bible teaches us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8, and then goes into verse 9. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And you can have that if you will trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. May the Lord bless you, each one.